John, he's put the announcements in the middle of the meeting. It's confused me, and has it confused you?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. We're going to do a call to worship this morning based on Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 to 35. It's lovely to welcome you to worship this morning, and it's lovely to be here with you. But there's a couple of slides are going to come up. One for the ladies to read, one for the men, and then we all join together. But a call to worship: for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Ladies, we need your presence on the long road, Lord, the road between fear and hope.
The road between the place where all is lost and the place of resurrection, like disciples walking the road to Emmaus.
We are in need of your company. Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Amen. And the band's already played our opening song, chorus that we're going to start with. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And note how it says we will rejoice. It doesn't say I might rejoice or I could rejoice or I might do in the future. But it's actually now. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So we'll stand up and sing this chorus, please. Thank you.
This is the day. Thank you. We continue our worship as we turn to our next song. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Let's sing together the first two verses of this song. Thank you. Let me invite you, please, to be seated. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We want that all the glory goes to God, for he loved the world. We want the glory to go to God because of our perfect redemption through Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. We desire today to encounter the living Lord again this morning. And as we quieten our hearts and minds down, we come to a time of prayer. As I love the chorus, I'd like us to sing, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Saviour, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. The Lord is aware of our experience of this last week. And for some of us, we come with heavy hearts, concerned for loved ones, for friends. Some of us are rejoicing because this last week has been a good week for us. And we want to give thanks to God for his graciousness to us. Let's sing the chorus twice through to begin with. Thank you. And as we come to pray this morning, let's be mindful of our brothers and sisters who are far from well. We recognize that within our church family are those who have celebrated important milestones in their life, and we give thanks to God for his love and his faithfulness. I ask you please to remember Dorothy Douse, who's tested positive for COVID, and David Doy, who's not too well. Remember, too, please, Ray Versey, who's in hospital. Pray for Angela and the family in these days. We want that Ray will be aware of the loving presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in these moments, and that God will surround the whole family with everything that they need as they face these challenging days and hours. So let's sing together once more, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Saviour, glorious Lord. And picture yourself entering the throne room of heaven. You're a welcomed member of the family. God's pleased to see you, and he wants to hear from you that which is upon your heart to say to him this morning. So we sing it once more, and then we'll share prayer together this morning. Thank you. Jesus. Father God, we want to thank you that through Jesus, you join with each and every one of us upon the road that you have called us to walk. There are times, Father God, when the walk is difficult, and we don't seem to sense your presence or to hear your voice. But I pray that this morning, Father God, that as we have gathered together to give worship and honor to your holy name, that your Holy Spirit will just move amongst us and minister to us each as individuals. Bless the families we represent. Bless those, Father God, within our church family who are far from well. Lord, we would ask for healing and restoration of health and strength. We would pray, Father God, for those who hearts are heavy and concerned for loved ones. Lord, just now, we thank you that you are everywhere present, and that while we worship you here, you can be ministering to those you've placed upon our heart, wherever they are. Bless everyone who's not been able to gather with us this morning. We may not know the reason, but Father God, we just pray that they will be aware that we are upholding them in prayer just now. And we believe that you can minister into their lives wherever they are. Father God, we come to you at the commencement of this new week and ask you, Father God, to join us upon our walk through this next week. You know the joys and the opportunities and the things we are looking forward to, and even the things that, Father God, may be challenging and concern us. And Father God, I just pray that you will make yourself aware to each and every one of us, so that as we gather together this time next week, we'll have a lot to say thank you to you for. So Lord, just come and minister your love and your grace to each and every person gathered here and those absent. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, who taught his disciples to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen and amen. Sorry for the stumble during that well-known prayer. We're going to sing another song together in the Salvation Army songbook. It's 903. We are marching in the light of God. Now, I have to say I like this chorus, and you are invited to stand. And if you would like to march on the spot, you're welcome. Or if you want to step side to side, just make sure if you're sat next to somebody and you stand up, you go the same way. We don't want any accidents this morning. So let's sing together, shall we, this lovely chorus. Thank you.
We are marching in the light.
That was just a rehearsal. If you want to join the Cubs and Scouts this afternoon down at the fort, Major David say they will be singing it. Okay, I'm sure there will be a bit more hip action there. Right. So let me invite you to take your seat as we invite the band to contribute just now to our worship. Thank you. Well, have you had a nice time off school? Yeah. Did you get any chocolate?
Too much.
Yeah? Has it all gone? No? What about you? Did you get any Easter eggs? Yeah? You still got any left? There's me hoping somebody would bring an egg and say, David, I've come to share this with you. Yeah? What sort of things do you like to do on school holidays? Other than eat the chocolate? Sorry? You went to the cinema. What did you see at the cinema?
Bad guys.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy it? Good. Bad guys. What have you done this week? All right. A boat on the way back. Right, which was the best, the train or the boat? The boat. Right, and somebody pick you up when you got off the boat. Right, because I didn't know whether you have to walk all the way back home from the boat. Yeah. So always nice to go on a train, isn't it? It's always nice to go on a journey. You've been on holiday. Seen some lovely photographs. Yeah? Were you bitten by the midges?
No, just a bit early for midges.
Oh, right, okay. Because you've been in Scotland.
Yeah.
Scotland, okay. Yeah. Scotland's a lovely place, but by gum, those midges, you have to try and just make sure you go at the right time. But you had a lovely time. Yeah. I don't know what sort of journeys you like to go on, whether it's a journey where you are taken by somebody else, whether it's on a train or a coach, or whether you like to drive. I assume you drove.
Yeah, 10 hours.
10 hours. God bless you. And how many stops?
Too many to count.
God bless you. Yes? How many people like to go for a walk? Well, that's nice. There are a few people around. You'd love to. Appreciate that. Point taken. Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, I can't say that I've done a lot of walking. Used to go walk everywhere because we didn't have a car when I was grown up, so we had to walk to and from the army, to and from school, and wherever you wanted to go, you had to walk. So when we got married and Katrina said, we need a car.
Excuse me. Who said we need a car?
Was it me?
Yes. Because you wanted to be driven everywhere. I was to be the chauffeur.
Yeah, it's true. I couldn't drive. So I had to learn to drive while we lived on the Isle of Wight, where there's no roundabouts or traffic lights or motorways. So I learned to drive in 7 weeks and then had to go into the centre of London to the Salvation Army headquarters. That was the most frightening, hair-raising experience of my life. So journeys are important, and we're going to be thinking about journeys. And you meet the strangest of people on journeys. And so, have you ever played this game? There's a picture. Have you ever played this game?
Guess who?
Where you have to ask the other person, has the person got red hair? Do they have a mustache? And that's just the women. Yes. And then you have to try and guess who it is. Now, two of Jesus' disciples went for a walk. It was 7 miles long from where they were in Jerusalem to... now, where are we going? Yes, we're going to Emmaus, which is 7 miles. Not nice roads like we have today. And it would have taken quite a while.
to make that journey. And the young people are going to go out and they're going to look at that story too. But before they go, John's going to come and bring us the announcements, and then John's going to pray over the young people as they go out to their activity. Thank you.
Sitting comfortably, then I'll begin. Tea and coffee on the house. Just go into the community hall after our worship, and we will provide you with tea and coffee. Now, there's no open air on the triangle today. That's simply because the band have to go down to the fort for 1:30, and we don't want any of the band from being late. Is that right, Andy? No. And if you've been down to the viewing point, it's a bit of a hassle to get a parking ticket. I think you've got to use your mobile phone. Is that right? Move your mobile phone and phone a number and, oh dear, I shan't bother to go. Pardon? There's no machines.
There is, yeah. You've got to know your registration number.
Oh, well, I'll go then. Yeah. Okay, so go a little bit earlier, bandsmen, and find out and let me know how you do it. But they're going to be playing for the Scouts and the Cubs there, so let's pray we have a great time there. On Tuesday, it's the advisory team meeting at 7:30 in the community hall. Do you remember Neil's chat where he said we want you to put input, your ideas, what should be happening in the core, not just the advisory team? Well, if you've reminded, no, I say you better remind whoever you told on the committee what your suggestion was, because I forgot to write mine down. But I've got a pretty good idea. But if you still, there's still opportunity, any member of the advisory team will take your suggestion and bring it to the meeting on Tuesday. On Wednesday at 1:30, as usual, the Friends Together meet. On Thursday, from 1:00 till 2:00 in this hall, will be the Bible study. And anyone is welcome to come to that. On Friday, here in the community hall, it is the Lent meal, and it's at 6:30. Now listen to this instruction I've been given. You have to bring your own glass and non-alcoholic drink. If you bring alcohol, I'll just have to put you out, so please. But if you're going to the Lent meal, and you will have had a ticket by now, at 6:30, you bring your own glass and your own non-alcoholic drink. Now, I was sitting here looking, but I can't see through the cornet section, and I thought, well, who am I going to pray for? Because I can't see any children anywhere. And then I saw you. Ah, yes. Well, you can sit there while I say the prayer, and then if you'd like to toddle off into the, you've got it all to yourself. And are you going to go out? My mate's back. Here she is. Are you going to go out to the juniors? Yeah, when I've prayed, then you know where to go, don't you? Yeah, of course you do. So would you all like to join me then as we just make a special prayer for our children? Heavenly Father, we realize there's not many children here today, but they are important to you, the ones that are here. So I pray now that as they leave us and go into their own little meeting, that the lesson prepared for them there will teach them more about you and your love. So please, Lord, be with them, I pray. Amen. Amen. Right, you can go now. And are you going to come back later?
Yes, we'll come back later.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Thank you. Let's listen just now to the message that the songsters have kindly prepared. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. We're looking at Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 to 35. With your permission, I'll not read it in its entirety, but we'll just take a little walk together through the words that are accounted there. This is still Resurrection Day. And it says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13, now that same day, two of them, that's two disciples of Jesus, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Now, I've no idea what your path is like today, the path that you're walking. Whether it's easy, whether you're happy with the path you're walking, or whether you feel isolated, alone, as though nobody cares. Certainly, the events of Holy Week have impacted these two disciples. We only discover one of their names, Cleopas. The other remains nameless. So it could be you, it could be me on that road. But they're deep in conversation, so much so that they didn't notice the man coming up alongside them and joining them on that journey. Can't feel or blame them in any way that they didn't recognize Jesus, because it says in verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things while with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Often we don't see the presence of God in our lives until we look back upon it and say, that was a God moment, a moment when the Lord was very close. I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't assume. He does know what we need. But here he's gracious enough to say, what are you discussing together as you walk along? He knows. He knows what's upon your heart this morning, what you'd like to talk to him about if he was here. I'm sure you'd spend hours in his presence if he was physically here, wanting to share with him both the joys and the frustrations of being a disciple. But these two disciples, were told, they stood still. Taken aback. Their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? 2 million people in Jerusalem. And here they are saying to this man who's joined them, are you the only one who doesn't know? Isn't it strange that when we're down and discouraged, we think everybody knows? If something is difficult and has happened to us and we feel it intensely, we assume everyone knows. Are you the only one? I suspect there were quite a few people in Jerusalem who didn't know, because they were in different parts of the city, what had taken place. And Jesus says, what things? And their answer is, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. It was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped. What are our hopes? We had hopes. We have expectations of what we would like to see God do. We came to faith. We followed. Life's not always been easy. It's been challenging. We had hoped. What are your hopes? For these two disciples, their hopes are dashed. It's interesting how they're blaming everybody else. The religious leaders handed him over to the Romans. They crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one going to redeem Israel. Their expectation was for a political Messiah who would reestablish Israel as a world force to be reckoned with, like they had been under David. They had not grasped the need for redemption from sin. And all they could see was all that their dreams lay in ruins. And then they're saying, and now we've got some of our women folk saying, he's alive. He's alive. But here's these two disciples. They're walking away from the group. You see, discouragement does a lot to people. Discouragement and frustration can be used for us to walk away from the fellowship of believers. We had our hopes and our dreams. We thought he was the one. But here these two disciples are walking away from the disciple group, heading home. Unknown, we don't know, as I say, their names, but yet, friends, these people are significant enough to have been in that group of people who shared the Passover meal. They are significant enough that they knew Jesus. They'll have had conversations with him. I like verse 25 where Jesus doesn't just pat them on the head and say, there, but he clearly says, how foolish you are and how slow to believe. Because he himself had been teaching the disciples for 3 years what was happening to the Redeemer of God's people. And he begins to open up the Word of God, the Old Testament. He says, you know, how slow you are to believe all the things the prophet had spoken about. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. This, I believe, would have been a brilliant Bible study. I'd want to be there. Yes, God himself explaining his word and showing how everything from the beginning through the Old Testament links together, culminating in the events that they had been part of. Events that have shaped society and the world for the last 2,000 years. It concerns me, friends, that we live in a day and age where the word of God is not taken seriously. Not just by unbelievers, but by believers themselves. I've met too many people who think this is a suggestion, that this word is just a collection of men and women's thoughts down the centuries. This has been compiled and written by over 40 authors. They weren't sat at a computer or a typewriter or at a desk and God told them word by word what to put down, but every book links to the next. There is a common theme going through every book of this holy book, telling us about God's creation, about the fall of man, about his choosing of a nation to bless the world, about bringing about a saviour to deal with our biggest problem, our sin. The difficulty is, you see, friends, is when we are discouraged and despondent, we have a danger of living in the past. Oh, wasn't the army good? When? There were 3 meetings on a Sunday. Open airs. Now, some of us might recollect those things, but I can guarantee you this, when I have spoken to people, I've always asked them, would you want to go back to those days? And the answer is always no. Now, what we need to do is find out what God wants us to do to be relevant to this 21st century. How do we engage with our brothers and sisters, our neighbours, our family today? Forget the past. God is not like the BBC. He does no repeats. God is always doing a new thing. They talk. I don't know how long 7 miles would have taken to walk. But it seems as though it's getting dark as they arrive in the town of Emmaus. And the 2 disciples invite this stranger to share the night with them. And as they share a meal, Jesus, we're told, breaks the bread and blesses it. And at that moment, their eyes are opened. At that moment, they turn to each other and say, did not our hearts burn within us? Oh, friends, I would want that God's word, the love of God, would burn in every one of our hearts. Our love for him, our love for his word, our love for each other, our love for the lost. That we would see that actually being a Christian is not something to walk away from or to be downcast about. These, if I call them gentlemen, I don't know whether they are 2 gentlemen or whether it's a couple, a man and a wife. But their encounter with Jesus meant that they didn't just say to each other, oh, let's go to bed, we'll get up in the morning. But they got straight up from the table and they ran back to Jerusalem and told the disciples, we had seen the Lord. I find that interesting. How long did it take them to get back? Was it safe? I don't know. We're told that obviously being out at dark is not always the safest thing to do. But yet they were so enthusiastic about what they had experienced of Jesus that night that they had to go and tell what they had experienced. Oh, that you and I might be men and women who want to go and tell
what we have experienced of God. As I was preparing this morning, a Salvation Army chorus came into mind years since I've ever sung it, and it simply says, "He's the Christ of the human road." We'll bring the words up. "He's the Christ of the human road, and he offers to carry your load. He's walking your way every night, every day, this Christ of the human road. He is human and yet so divine, and he knows your heart, sorrow and mine, in all kinds of need. He's a true friend indeed, this Christ of the human road." I don't necessarily know the road that you are travelling, how easy or difficult it is. But I do know that our Lord and Master wants to join you on that road. He wants to show you who he is. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to open to you the living word of God. He's going to go your way, even if you are walking away from the fellowship of believers, because his desire is that you return. His desire is that those who once worship with us and worship nowhere would return. And our task is to go and to journey with them and to share their journey, assuring them of this Christ of the human road. John, I don't know if you know the tune. Right, sorry. 50 years ago, yes, I'm so sorry. I don't know how many know it. Let's sing it together, shall we? We'll say thank you, John. God bless you. He's the Christ of the human world, and he offers to carry your load. He's walking your way every night, every day. This Christ of the human world. Human and yet so divine, and he knows your heart, sorrow and mine. In all kinds of need, he's a true friend indeed, is Christ of the human road. So I ask you this morning, are you aware of the Christ of the human road upon your path? Are you aware of how much he loves you? How much he wants to help you carry your load? If it would be helpful to use this place of prayer, I'd invite you to come. But just know that God loves you. That in all kinds of need, he's a true friend indeed, this Christ of the human road. Let's sing it once more, and then I wonder if somebody would kindly share a prayer with us this morning. Thank you.
He is walking your way,
Someone. Amen. I'd like us to conclude this morning by singing together. The band will help us with the tune, written by one of our poet leaders in the past. I know thee, who thou art, and what thy healing name. For when that my fainting heart the burden I o'ercame, I saw thy footprints on my road, where lately passed the Son of God. The second verse says, thy name is joined with mine by every human tie, and my new name is thine. A child of God am I, and nevermore alone since thou art on the road beside me. Now let's stand together and we'll sing the first two verses, please. Read together this third verse, please. Beside thee as I walk, I will delight in thee, in sweet communion talk of all thou art to me, the beauty of thy face behold, and know thy mercies manifold. We're going to sing the last verse. Thank you. Let me invite you just to be seated as we listen to the young ladies. Thank you.
It's a bit frightening, this bit. You've never done this bit before, Catherine, but don't worry about it. Okay. She's looking at me thinking, oh, my goodness, what's... Right. We've been learning all about Jesus. We've talked a little bit about the Easter story, haven't we? So the two disciples, they were walking along the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Okay, and they were very sad, weren't they? Were they sad because they had no more Easter eggs left? No. Were they sad because they couldn't go swimming? No. Why were they sad?
Because Jesus was dead.
Jesus had died. They were really, really sad, weren't they? So they were walking along the road to Emmaus, and we've made our own little, here we have. And what happened? Somebody came alongside them, a stranger. So suddenly there was three people on the road. Were they still sad? Yeah, because they didn't know who this stranger was they? And then they got to Emmaus, and when they got to Emmaus, they went into the house and they sent the stranger away. Is that right? No, they didn't. Did they invite him in? Yes, of course they did. And it was whilst they invited him in. And then what happened? Did they recognise him because he told a joke? Oh. Did they recognise him because he did a dance? No. How did they recognise him?
Because he said grace.
He said grace. Yes, he broke the bread and he shared a prayer, and then they realised. And then he disappeared. And then what did these two chaps do? Did they then go to bed?
No, but they were tired. They just walked 7 miles. They must have been shattered. What did they do? They
walked all the way back to Jerusalem to tell everyone that Jesus wasn't dead.
Excellent. They ran all the way back. And we've worked out that you got to know about Jesus from your grandma and granda and from your mum. And you've been, your parents, you have been told about Jesus. You see, we need to tell people about Jesus, that Jesus is alive. And so here we have our two young people. And yes, so come and ask them more questions. So Shirley, we've got just a very small Sunday school today, two. But would you like to share a prayer for that? Because they've got another day. They don't go to school tomorrow, you know. No, they've got another day's holiday. So if you'd like to share a prayer, Shirley.
Thank you. Well, girls, it's lovely to see you, Catherine. It's lovely to see you, Emily. Did you enjoy your Sunday school? Good. Katrina is pleased to hear that. Anyway, let's thank the Lord for you, shall we? And ask him to be with us next week, especially when you go back to school, okay? Loving Father, we just come before you just now, and we thank you for these two lovely young ladies. And Lord, I just pray that as they have been taught about you appearing on to your two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Lord, that they will realize how important it is that we actually speak about you, that we tell others about you, because if we don't, they're not going to hear. So, Lord, this morning I just pray for these young people. And I would particularly think of those who would normally be with us but are unable to be here today. Lord, I just ask that you will be unto them too all that they need. So, Father God, I just ask that you'll be with us as we leave this place. Be with us as we journey home. And be with us all next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Can I just share one final blessing with you? It's an Irish blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warmly upon your face. The rains fall softly upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Good morning and God bless you.